UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And it is such. Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
Four calls
on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show. How are you all doing this week? I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. We start this episode off tonight with Cameron in South Australia, sharing a possible grey alien encounter. Then staying in South Australia, we hear from Bevan about some paranormal encounters he has experienced beginning back in the 1980s. So you might want to leave your lights on for this episode. Cameron is up next.
But first, if you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show.
Hello, Cameron, and welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on today, and you're calling from Australia.
Calling from Adelaide, South Australia.
Wonderful. Now, Cameron, you have some experiences to share. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, sir?
Yeah, sure. So probably where I'll start off, so it was in 2006, so about 17 years ago now, which is crazy to think, but I remember I was at school and it was about lunchtime, and one of my friends, Boris, he just sort of started mentioning something, and he was sort of talking to a group of other people, and he sort of quietened down a little bit, but I persisted to find out what he was talking about, and he told me about something called greys, and he goes, you ever heard of greys? You know, these aliens, sort of, the best picture I could paint is like, if you've ever seen that sort of South Park with the aliens on there, and he basically said, just me telling you about greys would make it more, make you more susceptible for them to make their presence known. And I'm not a very skeptical person. I don't believe in a lot of that stuff. So I think it was either that night or the night afterwards. I was going to sleep and I had heartburn, so I couldn't sleep. So I was sitting up watching a Spartacus movie. I was looking it up before. I think it's the 2004 Spartacus movie. That's where it starts to get a bit weird, I guess. So as I'm watching this film, something comes into the room and I can see it between the TV and myself. And it's like its hand was out towards my face. There was a really bright light around it. So I couldn't see its face, its details or anything, but I could tell that its hand was out. And I felt like this wave of energy, or like a sound wave, that seemed to start from the top of my head and then sort of slowly move down from my head all the way to my toes and then up again. But the whole time I was completely like paralyzed. I couldn't move a finger, but in perpetual fear as well. It was terrifying. I actually found a sound like snippet, just because it would be pretty hard to explain what it kind of sounded like. But if you remember the dial-up internet days when you had to connect with dial-up, similar to that. Obviously, I couldn't find the exact sound, but from what I could remember, sorry, it's just going to add on here.
With one stroke of foliation, it clears the path on your skin before the plane for an effortless shed. Level up with your left leg.
Okay, yeah, just keep in mind as well, it's not the exact sound, but it's something that's pretty, probably as close as I could find without getting into details, which probably aren't important. And if someone's had a similar experience, I'm sure they'll be able to sort of paint the picture of what the sound was like, but this is the best I could find. And yeah, that sound sort of thing went on for a few minutes from what I remember. And then the rest of it is a bit sort of foggy. I believe I was talking to some type of entity at a cafe or a restaurant, something where like that appeared to be outside. But as the conversation ended, I was back in the chair that I was sitting in, and it was not like I was waking up. It was like I was, you know, still awake, and I could all of a sudden move again. And it was, I've never had another experience like it. I've never had sleep paralysis. I've never had seizures, epileptic fits, or anything like that. And it just seemed to be coincidental to what my friend was telling me about 2 days after that. Yeah, so I guess that's most of my story. Yeah.
Good stuff. And this coincided with a conversation with your friend.
Yeah, my friend Boris, he told me about these things called greys, and he literally said, just me telling you about them. He said they were like telepathic, and I think, you know, if they were on my mind, maybe they, you know, appeared because I was thinking about them. One thing that does come to mind as well is my mum's house is on sort of like an edge of a gully, and you can see all basically from, where, if you know where Golden Grove is, all the way to where the ocean is. So it's just open gully. So it's possible maybe I saw a ship or something, and just me being aware of a ship flying past, and they had to erase my memory. I'm not sure, but it just seemed to co-align, yeah, with what Boris said. And like I said, I'm not a skeptical person. I don't believe in ghosts and all that kind of stuff, but it's just, to this day, it's just a question that I want to know if other people have had something similar, perhaps around the same time as well, 2006. And it'd be interesting to see if people have had similar experiences.
So if you have, get in contact. And you had no experiences prior to that or after?
No, nothing that really, I mean, I've had a dream or something, but, you know, a dream. But yeah, it's definitely the strangest thing that's ever happened to me. And I think a lot of times when I've told people, just get goosebumps thinking about, you know, the whole thing was just like terrifying, really. I mean, not being able to move any muscles, or that was probably this one of the scariest parts about it, is that it had me at its will. It pinned me down, and it's like it was scanning my body. I don't know why it was scanning my body, but yeah.
And do you have any idea of how long this experience lasted for?
I have a feeling that there's a period of time that I don't remember. And another thing which is slightly weird about it as well is I had a bruise, or I think it might have been two bruises on me, and they were like really odd shapes, and I had no recollection of how I did them. One was like a triangle shape, but I don't think I was abducted, but then I don't, you know, like I said, there's a period of time where I don't remember. So, but I've definitely never had an experience like, you know, when you wake up, you know you've woken up. It was like you've been awake the whole time. It was very confusing.
And have you heard anything from other family members of anything similar to this happening?
No, I'll be honest. I haven't really told a lot of people this just because probably obvious reasons. They'll think I'm crazy. But, yeah, I don't think I've even told my mum, to be honest. I've told a few close friends and stuff. But, you know, it's especially being older now, it's just sort of almost laughable. But I think, as a lot of people would probably say, I've seen in your show, I know what I saw, and I'm not a, you know, skeptical person. And there'd be no reason for me to make this up and be thinking about it for this long. So I guess that's why I sort of reached out to you, to see if I shared this, then perhaps people have had similar things. Maybe they haven't spoken about it much either, but they want to know as well. And, you know, try to work out what is going on, because I think there's no denying with what we know about universes and multiverses and how many stars and planets there are, there's pretty much theoretically impossible for us to be the only ones out there.
You're absolutely right. And if any of our listeners out there have had an experience, which is, you know, like a one-off, very similar to what Cameron has, get in contact, because just like anyone else, everyone wants answers.
Yep, that's right. Yeah. I look forward to potentially people that have had similar experiences. So I've researched this in that specific on the details, and I can't seem to find anything on Google of the same kind of experience. It's almost like it's suppressed or something.
I mean, people do get in contact. I mean, we've got such a vast archive of experiences. We've had tones before. I'm not sure if we've had anything like dial-up.
Yeah, it was like a line. So obviously the sound came through my ears, but a line like started like a scanner, I guess, from my head, and then slowly down all the way to my toes and then back up again, like a straight line. Again, if someone's had the same experience, they'll know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Sometimes it's difficult to put into words certain feelings and so. Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, I can put out an episode and I'll get a ton of emails of people saying, I've just had the same experience, or this happened to me, or we can do is hope that someone else has.
I mean, I guess I'll end it here. I barely remember, you know, what I exactly ate yesterday, and this happened 17 years ago, and I can still remember, you know, if I could draw what I could remember details. Yeah.
Yeah, these experiences tend to stand out a bit. I'm exactly the same. I can't remember what I had yesterday, but something which happened 20, 30 years ago, no problem. Something that stands out like this.
The second freakiest thing, I guess, that's ever happened is I died in a dream once, and I met what I imagined would be Jesus, but it's more of a religious thing than a UFO thing, so.
You can put it on if you like. I get plenty of ones like that.
Oh, well, yeah, it's from the same sort of time period, probably maybe 2005 or 6. So I died in a dream. I think I got eaten by a bull shark. And I looked down on my body, and my friends were, you know, obviously upset, and they all went back to my other friend's house to sort of have like some type of wake or memorial or something. And I was in the car with them, but they couldn't hear me. I was yelling, but no one could hear me. And after a little bit of that, it was sort of driving me crazy or making me scared or something. So I decided to get on a bus to the city where I thought there'd be a larger number of people and I'd be able to hopefully see someone that could see me. So I got on the bus and I went to Rundle Mall, and I was running down. If you've ever been to Adelaide, there's the mall's balls, but there was just thousands of people, you know, yelling and yelling and yelling, and no one could hear me. And all of a sudden I see this Jesus-like figure, is the best way I could explain it, sort of hailing me over. And he said something along the lines of, you know, I'm here to take you where you're supposed to go, etc. And led me into a stairwell. And about halfway up the stairs, I just felt right. So I turned around and I started running away. And the last thing I remember in this dream was two girls, as I got into this park, and they could see me as well. And they said the same thing, and I just believed them straight away. And the last thing I remember was this Jesus-like figure with like 100,000 of the craziest, scariest demons I can imagine. And as they ascended into heaven, the hands were basically almost on me, and I woke up. And I figured that must have been a wake-up call to, you know, if you don't change who you are, then this is what you can expect.
Interesting. And do you have much of a religious background?
Yeah, definitely do. But I think at that point in my life, it sort of strayed a little bit. But needless to say, after that kind of dream, my faith became a lot stronger, and still have a pretty strong faith. But yeah, I'm not one of those people that would force it upon other people if they don't want to talk about it or like it. But I myself feel like even that experience as well with the grey and stuff, that I know there's, you know, I've seen it, seen something else there, whether God is an alien or whether we're an alien to the universe or something, I'm not sure, but there's definitely more out there. So
yeah, interesting. You know, I hear a few similar accounts like this, and most of the time, the background, people's religious faith doesn't seem to make a difference. You know, I've spoke to complete atheists before that have seen visions of Jesus in dreams and, yeah, and stuff.
I think some people sort of have the mindset of, you know, if there's the existence of aliens, that proves that God and Jesus isn't real. But I think it almost proves the opposite. But no matter how smart scientists get, no matter how much they answer, they'll never be able to work out where everything came from. Someone had to make it, or, you know, something had to be there from the beginning. It's as logical to say that something made it as to say that it's been there for all of existence.
Right, yeah, I'm enticed to agree with you on that.
Thank you for having me.
You are more than welcome, Cameron.
No worries, yeah. Thank you very much. Have a good night.
You enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll speak soon.
All right, bye.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Hello, Bevan. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Nick. Great to speak with you.
It's great to have you join us today, and you're calling from the state of Victoria in Australia.
I am, yes, in Apollo Bay.
Apollo Bay. That's along the Great Ocean Road.
It is on the Great Ocean Road, yes. Very, very close to Cape Otway, which is the lowest point on the mainland of Australia. It's beautiful down here. Yeah.
It's absolutely beautiful. I travelled around that way back in the year 2000. I left Melbourne and went to Geelong and travelled all the way along the Great Ocean Road, stopping off actually in Bells Beach. And I think we stopped off in Apollo as well for a bit of surfing.
No doubt you would have. Yeah, I'm pretty lucky to be here. It's a beautiful spot.
Beautiful part of the world. Okay. Now, Bevan, you have some strange experiences to share. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, sir?
Mm-hmm. Sure. A couple of the dates on these I'm not quite so sure about, because they started when I was pretty young. I've written down 1989. So in 1989, I was 7 years old. And this story, well, no, they're not stories. These are experiences. And I'm up at my nana's place. This is up in a small town in Northern Australia. And I'm just a little kid. It's nighttime. There's, you know, family about, having a barbecue in the backyard. It's dark, and I'm just a little kid. I'm like, I'm going to say about 7 years old. And I just was looking up into the sky, and what I saw, you know, well, I didn't tell anyone about this for quite a long time, or actually, you know, for many, many years, actually. But I looked up into the sky and saw, and it filled the sky. It was a full-blown image of Jesus. Like, what I thought at the time, I was just a little kid. Also, my nana's house where this happened was a very Christian house. You know, there was a crucifix in every room, very Christian related house. So I looked up into the sky, and it was this sky filled image of a classic old image of Jesus, the one where, you know, he's sort of he's got his hands in front of him, and he's pulling apart, you know, his heart is there, and he's like opening his heart. So that classic old image, that's a pretty old Christian image. And I looked up, and that was, I don't know how long I was looking at this for, not very long at all, but that happened. And I didn't actually tell anybody about that, because I knew it was weird. And so I sort of kept that one to myself for many, many years. And it wasn't a clear image in the sky. It was morphed into the sky. There was no clouds in the sky that night. It was pretty clear. But the image had colour, and it was sort of waving, and, you know, it was a part of the sky, basically. And there's also, you know, something else that potentially happened in the same year. So I'm not really too sure of the timeline of this, but something else also huge happened in 1989, but I'll relate back to that when it's more relevant in a couple of stories. So that could be relevant to this. So then I'm going to fast forward 2 years to 1991, and that's when my grandmother died, and my family and I were staying in a house on the night of her funeral. We were staying in a house in that town, and so I would have been, 1991. I was about 9, and I was going to bed. It was very late at night, and I was going to bed, and I was in a bunk. I was on the top bunk, and I don't actually remember falling to sleep at all, but what I do remember was looking out the window and seeing my grandmother standing outside the window looking back at me. And I was staring at her, and she was a bit translucent. This wasn't a full body form, and I felt it was 100% real. And I was—I got really upset. And then the next thing I knew, like, my mum and my dad were there, and my family, and were sort of, you know, telling I'd had a dream and whatnot. But it sure as hell didn't feel like that to me. Like, I really genuinely feel as though that was a very real thing, and she was standing there looking at me outside the window. This is the night of her funeral. So that's that one. And again, I didn't tell anyone in my family about that or anyone at all. Only a lot of these stories have come out in more recent years when I've been getting them all together. So, you know, my upbringing and teenage years, 20s and 30s, where I've just had a pretty bad experience with nightmares, to be honest. And right from when I was a little kid, also had terrible nightmares, which was awful. But there's been a couple of dreams in particular that have been very repetitive dreams that I've had loads and loads of times. And for some reason, I feel like there's more to those dreams, that they're not just dreams. I've had, just like most people, have had a billion wacky dreams that don't, you know, mean anything or you can't make any sense out of. And I haven't really looked into my dreams that much, to be honest, but I don't, you know, all of those crazy dreams that we all have, I've never really, and that I've had, to me, have just been dreams. Whereas I've got a couple in particular that they just don't feel like that. They feel like something different. And these are the repetitive dreams that I've had. And I've had many dreams of, like, levitation and flying, but there's these other ones where I've had loads of times. And I used to have these dreams probably a lot through my 20s. Basically, it's like me looking up into the sky in my dream. I'm looking up into the sky, and it's always in daytime, and there's other people around, and I'm busy, you know, just maybe a street setting or whatever. And I'm looking up into the sky, and I see these ships flying through the clouds, and they're just moving along not that fast, you know, kind of, and they're kind of just moving through the sky, and they're like they look like a cross between like a cargo ship and like a military ship and like a truck, like a semi-trailer truck. It looks like if you can picture something that's more full of those things together. And these things just, they have a cargo feel to them to me. Like, they're like cargo ships or something, and they're just like cruising through the sky. And there's, you know, maybe 3 at most that I could see at the one time. And I'm looking around to other people, like, saying, oh, what? Like, what are these? Like, don't you? And other people don't see them. And it's just me seeing these things. But I had those dreams loads of times, the same sort of dreams. But no, I've actually never really looked into my dreams that much. Is they used to scare the crap out of me, to be honest, and because of a bad experience with nightmares as a kid. So now I'll fast forward to year 2000. This is pretty epic, some of these things that started to happen. In the year 2000, I'm 18 years old, and I've got a girlfriend, and she had, well, you know, a few months after we were going out, we started messing around with holding a seance, because she had done this a few times before and with her friends previous to me knowing her. And I was super, super skeptical about this sort of stuff. I had never delved into that world at all. I'd never really thought about the spiritual world or anything like that. And I was super, super skeptical, to be honest. And she was telling me stories about, you know, how her and her friends had contacted people and had, you know, spoken to people. And I was intrigued, that's for sure. And at that time, I was, you know, open to anything new. So I was on board. And it was just the two of us. And, we held our first seance one night. And initially, nothing really much happened for a sort of a couple of minutes, but then, you know, instantly someone was there and we were contacting someone, and I could tell very clearly that it wasn't my girlfriend moving the glass, because it was a strong, strong force that was moving this thing across and spelling out, you know, and we had a notepad and writing down what it was saying, and we were getting, you know, names and dates that, you know, go back centuries, and random names that didn't necessarily mean anything to us, but lots of different names and dates that anything from, you know, like the 1700s up to like 1950s, all sorts of things. But then, I was blown away, to be honest. I was completely blown away because I'd never experienced anything like this. And, you know, this was opening my whole brain up to, you know, stuff that I didn't even think was possible. Anyway, we're getting random names, and all of a sudden someone else comes through and spells out the name Dominic. And I won't say his last name. Out of respect for the family, he spells out, I'll say his last name is Dominic, you know, Donaldson. So I get very, very emotional when this name comes through, because now I'm going to link back to 1989. I was talking about before, because back in 1989, my best friend at school, Dominic, died, and it was a really horrible thing that happened, and he got meningitis, and it all happened super, super quick. And I was playing with him one day in the classroom, and we were throwing chalk up into the fan, busting chalk, and it was flying everywhere. And he just all of a sudden started violently vomiting, like super, super, something like I've never seen before. It was really, really full on. He had to go straight to the hospital, and then he got airflown to Melbourne, and, you know, he died the following day. And it was meningitis, and it was horrible, but I was pretty young. I didn't really feel any grief back then from it. I just knew that it was a very, very sad thing that happened, and that was horrible. So anyway, I'm now doing a seance, with my girlfriend, and all of a sudden it's Dominic spells his name, and I lost my shit. I was so emotional. I couldn't believe that this was being spelled out. And I had to then explain to my girlfriend who that was. She had no idea who that was. I told her who this was, and she couldn't believe it, you know. And so that was just the name, you know. I need more proof now, you know. This was only my first time doing a seance, and all of a sudden now I'm apparently speaking to my, you know, my best friend who died when we were like about 8 years old. And I was all over the shop, and I was now asking more questions, and I need more proof. And I'm asking him all sorts of questions, you know, like, what's your parents' name? You know, where do they work, and your sister's name, and all sort of stuff, all this sort of stuff that I know. And he, you know, every single thing that I was asking was just being spelt out perfectly, absolutely nailing it. Like, there was absolutely nothing incorrect at all about any of the responses. And he would also ask us stuff, you know, and we were having a conversation now. Now I'm just flat out having a conversation with my friend who had died. And it was very, very emotional and completely, you know, mind-blowing, to be honest. And we ended up ending that seance, and I was just really, really emotional that night. I just couldn't believe what had happened. And I remember going home, and I remember seeing my sister, and she saw me, and she said, "What the hell? Like, you look like you've seen a ghost." And, you know, I explained what had happened, and I couldn't believe what had happened, and I knew what had happened. It was all very, very real, and that was the end of that. But over the course of the following weeks, we ended up doing heaps of seances. Like, I was now, you know, well, I was into it. And so over the course of the following weeks, we ended up, you know, doing quite a few more. And we were speaking to Dominic many, many times. And it was crazy. Like, I just couldn't believe this stuff was happening. And I tried to go tried to go deep. I wanted to know where he was, and all these types of things. But I wasn't really getting many deep answers. It had to be reasonably shallow. The best I got out of him was when I asked, "Are you happy?" And he said, "Yes." I was pretty stoked with that. So this is in like 2001 now when this is happening, and I'm doing a course. I'm just out of school, and I'm doing this like course, like a performing arts course. Anyway, I'm at a party one night, right? And there's a bunch of people around, and this girl who I didn't know, who was in a different course, literally just like started kissing me out of the blue. And I was like, oh, wow. And we kissed for a couple of seconds, right? And then I had to stop that. And I was like, can't do this. Sorry, I've got a girlfriend. And then that was the end of that, right? And it was only a matter of a couple of days later that we were doing a seance again at Lisa, at my girlfriend's house. And we're again having contact with Dominic. And just, you know, similar to the previous seance, we were just having a conversation, general, you know, chit-chat. And I was not chit-chat. I was really wanting proof, and I was still asking more questions about his family and things like this. And Dominic replied, and he asked me, he spelled out, are you just kissing Belle? And Belle is the name of the girl who kissed me that night, just a few nights ago. And I was just like, what? Am I getting busted in a seance for kissing another girl? Because this is happening right now. And I did not know how to react, honestly. I think I brushed it off somehow to my girlfriend, saying, oh, I don't know what this is, even though everything else that he was saying was absolutely spot on. You know, there was zero mistakes, and now he's just busted me for kissing another girl. And I could not believe that that happened, and I still can't believe that that happened, but it happened. And that just blew my mind that happened, because it also meant that, you know, he sees everything and that he watches me and he knows what happens. And you know, it's just, yeah, it was incredible that happened. And that was, you know, the last of the sort of stories that I can remember from doing seances with Dominic at that time, because, you know, after a while, ended up parting ways with that girlfriend. And then, so it's a couple of years later now. So I'll fast forward to I will just go back to another thing that happened in that house. There was another thing that happened in that house one day, same house where used to hold those seances. I was in the lounge room one day, and I've gone to walk from the lounge room just out into the hallway, and there's a glass sliding door just in the wall, one that just rolls along like an old 50s frosted glass. You know, if there's someone on the other side of the glass, like, you can clearly see. And it's a pretty light door, you know, it's on those old rollers, and you barely put a bit of pressure on it, and it just rolls along. So I've walked over to the door, and I put my hand on the handle, and it was as if there was someone on the other side of the door who grabbed it and just went whoosh, and like it, they took my arm with it, like they opened it for me and they took me with it, you know. It was, and I was looking straight through, like there was no one there, and there was no one else in the house. And it just, I was like, oh my god, like someone totally just took that door and just took me with it. Yeah, that happened. That's what kind of gave me a little bit of a fright, that one. Yeah, fast forward a couple of years to, what are we at now? 2003. So I'm now, this is in a different town. This is now happening in Apollo Bay, where I live now. So yeah, 2003, I'm working in the pub, washing dishes, and I'm talking to the waitresses. It's a really, really super, super busy pub. Heaps of waitresses, super busy kitchen. And I'm the dish pig. And I'm chatting to the waitresses, and I'm telling them about the story that I just said about how I used to contact my friend who had died and all that sort of stuff. And they were just like, you know, jaws on the floor, completely mind blown. And these are local girls, and they were like, okay, well, this is, you're coming around to our place tonight because we want to contact our friend who died horribly, you know, a few years earlier, a local person in a really tragic scenario. And, I was super, super skeptical. I shouldn't have done it, but I agreed. And I was like, all right, I'll come around, because they were super, they really wanted to do it. They really, really wanted to do it. And I said, we can do it. I'll come around. I'll make up a board. I'll come around and we'll see how we go. And I shouldn't have done that, but I did. So anyway, we've clocked off for the night, and I've gone and quickly gone home, and I've made up a Ouija board out of, I don't know, anything. You don't need it. I don't know what it is. But I've just gone and made up a board out of some cardboard or whatever, and I've gone around to their house. And I'm going to change the name of this person that they want to contact. out of respect for their family. I know her whole family. Anyway, so, yeah, I've gone around to their house and there's about five, I think there was five girls and me, all the waitresses from the pub. And I've lit a candle and I've started this thing and I've told them what we're going to do. And I just had a feeling that, you know, it was going to turn pear-shaped, and I knew that people are going to get emotional because that's what's going to happen. First time people experience these types of things, and like it happened to me, and I didn't want to upset anyone, but you know, they were insistent that we do this. So I've initiated this seance, right? And again, very similar to my first time, it was just a bunch of names and dates and stuff like that were coming through, and they were all completely blown away that that was happening, first of all. And then after a little while, a different name came through, and I don't know the name, but it was one of the girls' great-grandparents. And, anyway, it was one of the girls' great-great-grandparents. And that's when, you know, things got a lot more emotional, and that girl was, you know, really upset, but also just mind-blown, and everyone's crying. And I felt bad for bringing this on to everyone, honestly, and I was really glad that the girl that they were trying to contact didn't come through. But I ended it, and I was like, I think we've, you know, this is done enough. I felt bad for making everyone upset. So I've ended it, blown out the candle, and that was it. And I've gone home, and I've gone home and gone to bed. And this is probably, I don't know, maybe like 11:30 at night. Gone home and I've gone to bed. I'm asleep. And then what happens next is the most terrifying thing that's ever happened to me in my life, man. Like, for real. I go to sleep. So at about 2 o'clock in the morning, I live by myself, by the way. So about 2 o'clock in the morning, I get woken up to a voice in my head, and it's a girl's voice, and she's saying, "Don't ask questions, don't ask questions, don't ask questions, don't ask questions." She's just repeating that over and over and over. And I am absolutely, I think I've lost the plot. I've thought, oh my God, like there's a voice in my head that's not my own thought. Like, I've officially lost the plot. This is not good. I was terrified, absolutely terrified. So just for my own sanity, even though I was completely, you know, awake and I knew what was going on and it was so real. I was sitting up and this girl, she's just repeating, don't ask questions, don't ask questions. And she's actually, it was getting faster and faster and faster and faster. And it went on and on and on. And I am lying there or sitting up in bed and I'm terrified, man. It was, you know, it was not okay. It was very, very far from okay. And it was getting faster and up to the point where she's pretty much yelling at me now. And she's like, don't ask questions, don't ask questions, don't ask questions. And I'm like, holy shit, like this is getting really, really intense. And I'm not kidding. This lasted for, I didn't know how to end it. So it went on for, you know, probably about 2 hours of me, the most terrified 2 hours of my life, that's for sure. And yeah, like I'm lying in bed with this girl screaming at me, don't ask questions, don't ask questions. And then after a couple of hours, it's like 4 o'clock in the morning now. After a couple of hours, I just had this moment of absolute clarity, right? Like it was just like a light bulb moment. And I wouldn't say I was calm because I was terrified still, but I had a light bulb moment where I knew exactly who it was and I knew exactly what she was telling me. And it was, like I said, I'm going to change the girl's name, but let's say it's Jess. So I knew that it was Jess who was speaking to me and who they were trying to contact, the girls earlier at the seance. I just knew that it was her. And she was literally telling me, don't ask questions, like don't do seances, don't mess with this stuff, basically. And I took it very, very quickly because I was terrified. And I knew that that's what she was telling me. And I literally, like, I yelled out loud and I said, and I spoke back to her and I was like, I'll never do it again. I promise to never do it again. I will never ask, I won't ask questions. I'll stop. And just like that, voice went away and I felt fine and I was not scared anymore because I knew what had just happened. I knew who that was. I knew what she was asking me and I knew that I was going to keep that promise, that's for sure, and I would never do that again, and I haven't. That's like, you know, over 20 years ago now, and I sure as hell would never touch that again because I've got a message, like very, very clear. She frightened the crap out of me, and yeah, I would never do that again. And, you know, it's a beautiful, there's a beautiful cemetery here in town where this person's buried. And, you know, it's a really nice spot to go up and check out the view sometimes. And if I'm ever up there, like, I thank her every single time for real, because she really gave me a really, really important lesson that night. Yeah. So that was, you know, that just frightened the shit out of me. Like, that was the most terrifying thing, but I'm just glad that I knew what it was in the end and I knew how to deal with it. Yeah. Anyway, that's that one, I guess. All right. So there's another thing that happened, and this is actually not an experience, like a paranormal experience or anything like that, but I'm just going to slip it in. So in about 2004-ish, I would say, I'm at a art gallery opening, like an exhibition opening at an art gallery. There's a thing, you know, there's people standing out on the footpath with a glass of wine in hand, you know, talking about things, you know, that sort of scene. There's this old lady, like an old nana, who I've never seen before, from across the whole crowd. She's just staring at me. Like, she was just staring at me, giving me the eye in a really nice way, but she had, you know, we locked eyes and she was staring at me. And after a while, she walks over to me and she says to me, "You don't have to worry so much." And then she says, "You know you're psychic, don't you?" And actually, I don't even know what I said back to her, to be honest, because I was a little taken back and I didn't know how to react. For real, I did not know how to react. I don't think, I honestly have no idea what I said back to her. I don't think I said much at all, if anything. But yeah, like, I totally thought about her a lot moving on from that, that's for sure. So I'll move on forward now. What do we got? So we're in about 2007 now. I'm living in Melbourne on and off. So in the Melbourne suburb of Northcote, used to go around to my friend Mark's place for a beer, you know, on a Friday night or on a Friday, like, certain more afternoon, after work beers on a Friday afternoon. So I've gone around to Mark's house and it's like, you know, I don't know, 5:30 on a Friday afternoon. I've only been at his house for, like, you know, probably 5 minutes at this point. I've just gone in and said g'day. We've walked out into the backyard and I've grabbed a seat and we just talked for a couple of minutes. And then Mark's gone inside to grab a beer. And he was only gone for, like, I don't know, you know, 15 seconds or so, 20 seconds, whatever. But within that short period of time, I was sitting at the back and I'm looking up at the sky. And what I saw fly across the sky, like, at rapid, rapid speed. Yeah, like, ridiculous, ridiculous speed. Nothing that of this earth, that's for sure. But what I saw was this shadowy, smoky, hooded demon creature thing. I only learnt the word Dementor a few weeks ago when looking up this stuff, but I'm not a Harry Potter fan, never really been into it. But when looking up images of what I saw, typed in, you know, what I saw, and then images of the Dementor came up, and for real, like, it's just exactly what I saw. Like, I can't describe anything different than, yeah, the classic Dementor sort of image. And it just flew across the sky, like, super, super quick, as if it, you know, just, and it was gone. And, like, there's no way that, it was a sunny day, there were no clouds, no wind. You know, even if, you know, if it was windy and it was a big garbage bag, there's no way it could fly at that speed. Like, this was a creature, demon, smoky, Dementor thing that just went, poof, you know, and just flew across Northcote, 2007. Anyway, that was, I didn't tell my friend about that when he came out, because he's not really so much on the level. He just would have thought I was nuts. So, like most of these stories, they go under the wraps, and then, you know, you dig them out years later to the right people. So yeah, that happened. That was a good one.
What is HelloFresh? With HelloFresh, you get farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. HelloFresh does all the shopping and meal planning for you. Ingredients arrive at your doorstep pre-portioned and ready to cook, along with pictured step-by-step recipe cards. How easy is that? Turn to HelloFresh Market for yummy add-ons and enjoy season's limited time fall flavors lineup. Feast on desserts like apple cider cake and caramel sauce. Or please a crowd with appetizers like the barbecue pulled pork nachos And don't forget the mini pumpkin cheesecakes, perfect for a me time treat. We have all suffered with the cost of living crisis, but HelloFresh has given me better management of my food budget and more time doing the things I love, spending time with my family and working on this podcast. So I have an exclusive offer for all our podcast listeners. Go to HelloFresh.com/50UFO and use the code 50UFO for 50% off and plus 15% off for the next 2 months. So again, go to HelloFresh.com/50UFO and use code 50UFO for 50% off plus 15% off for the next 2 months. Or click on the HelloFresh link below in this episode's description. So get started today with HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
So, skipping forward a few years now to 2014. And this, for me, is an absolute cracker because it's a shared experience, luckily. It wasn't just me who saw this. My wife and I both saw this. And this was one of those things that if you saw this by yourself, you probably wouldn't tell anyone. You'd think you have totally have just made something up. Like, people would not believe this, but that's why I'm so stoked that this is a shared experience. And this completely opened up my mind again to what was possible, because this is something different altogether. And also to my wife, she wasn't my wife then, we were engaged. Yeah, it completely blew her mind. And so basically, this is in a cold bay where I live now, and we're just sitting in a little small backyard, tiny little, we lived in a unit. And we're just sitting in this tiny little courtyard backyard surrounded by fences. And, you know, you've got the sky up above you, but that's about it. It was a blue sky day. There were maybe a couple of tiny fluffy clouds in the distance, but not really. It was pretty much just a clear sky, blue day, clear blue sky day. And we were looking up into the sky, and this is about lunchtime, by the way. It's probably only about, you know, midday or 1 o'clock. We're just sitting in the back out in the chair, and we're looking up at the sky, and we're both looking in the same area of the sky. And I started to see something, and I knew something was happening. And I stared at what I saw for probably, I don't know, it's really hard to gauge time in these things, but maybe like somewhere between 10 and 20 seconds. And I was locked on this. And I then looked at my wife, my then fiance, and I could see that she had also seen something. And I didn't want to say what I saw, but I was so glad to see that she had seen something. And I said to her, like, have you just seen something? And I could tell by the look on her face, obviously. And she's like nodding her head like, yes. And I'm like, oh my God, because what I've just seen, I do not understand. And I'm really hopeful that we've seen the same thing. And we both described what we saw. And luckily, we did actually see the same thing. But I've really struggled with this one because it's really hard to put any kind of explanation to. Like, I'm so into this subject, and I listen to accounts, I've listened to thousands of accounts or whatever, and all types of things. You know, it would be far easier to explain that we saw a UFO, basically, because that would actually, you know, oddly enough, be far more common. But it's just not like that. That's not what we saw, unfortunately. That would be awesome. But what we saw was, it sounds nuts, and we saw basically, it was like an image and a vivid photo quality image of about 10 wolves, like a pack of wolves basically, but all of their heads, like they weren't really bodies, it was more just heads, and they filled this section of the sky, right? But I don't know, for perspective, say, if you're sitting down and you hold up a piece of paper, like an A4, like more like an A3, if you're sitting down and you hold up a piece of A3 paper, that's a section of sky that it filled, like a pretty decent size section of sky in a blue sky day, crystal clear image of about 10 wolf faces. There was no color. It was just black and white, but it was just like, what? Like, what the hell? Like, how, you know, like I said, it would be so much easier to explain if it was a UFO or if we saw a bunch of orbs or a black triangle or whatever. But because I just haven't heard of anything really similar to this, to be honest, and it just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't really like the idea of simulation theory, but I don't know. This one has got me stumped, and I'm so stoked that it wasn't just me who experienced this. And I did make an image, and I sent it to you. I recently tried to create a couple of images of some of the things that I've seen. So I did send you that one, and even though I'm really bad at editing, and the image of the wolves is in like an oval shape, if anyone is going to like, if anyone ends up seeing the image, you'll see that it's in like an oval shape. Just forget that. It was just blended into the sky, just these wolves' faces just blended into the sky beautifully, as if it was, we were looking into a different dimension, honestly. It was like, it was so out there. And I'm so glad that it wasn't just me who saw that. I haven't really told anyone about that. I don't really talk to people about this stuff. Like, you know, many of your listeners will know, you keep this stuff yourself until you find the right people. That's why your show has been, you know, awesome, really. So I've been really back into this subject a lot recently, obviously. Been documenting all of this and putting it all into a timeline. So this has been on my mind a lot, all of this stuff recently, and I've been putting a lot of brain power into it. My wife has also, and she's really tapped in and is totally, you know, feeling a lot of stuff herself, which is really, really cool. But anyway, this is like maybe about three weeks ago, I'm putting my son to bed. I've got a 2-year-old beautiful boy. I'm putting him to sleep. This is like about 8:15, about 3 weeks ago, 8:15 at night. I'm putting my little fella to bed, and I'm thinking about all of this stuff. I'm thinking about all of these experiences and, yeah, all of this stuff. I'm thinking about spirits and all this stuff. This is where my brain is at, even though I'm in a dark room and I've got my boy on me and I'm patting him on the back and we've got a blanket over us and it's a totally, totally still room. I'm patting him to sleep, but I'm thinking about all this stuff, right? And I basically put a message out there, and in my brain, wasn't speaking. I put a message out there and I basically said, you know, if there's anything or anyone out there, feel free to let me know, let's do it sort of thing. And basically within like a half second, I reckon, as soon as I'd finished that thought, like one of my son's toys is like moved across the floor as if, you know, someone had just kicked it. Like there's a few plastic toys on any toddler's floor, and it was just as if someone had just walked into it and just kicked it, and this plastic toy just like scuttled across the weatherboard floor. And that was instant, you know, like I asked for it and I got it straight away. And so much so that it gave me a little bit of a fright. And then I said again, like in my head, oh my God, like, thank you, but I don't want to get scared, but thank you. Yeah. Like that was just, you know, you ask and, you know, you might receive. And in that case, that was pretty clear. That was very, very instant when that happened. So now we're getting, that's only 3 weeks ago. So we've been talking a lot about all this stuff in our house recently, and it also seems to be just creating more events, to be honest, because since I've documented all this stuff, all of a sudden there's just like, it seems like daily now, it's just a few little things. Like as so much as like up until a few hours ago, to be honest, but like yesterday, no, sorry. So there's another one, like there's one today, another one yesterday, and then this other one from about a week and a half ago, right, where my son, who is such a special little dude, oh my God, like he's in a little onesie, it's nighttime, he's wearing a onesie, and he was holding around him like this towel sort of thing. It was just this small fleece towel, it's got no pockets or anything like that. If it is his onesie, there's no pockets anywhere. And he was actually running laps around the kitchen table, holding the little thing. And that's my wife and I in the kitchen, and our little man, running laps around the kitchen table. And then all of a sudden he stops, right? And he just like, he hands me, it's like he put his hand in his pocket, but he put his hand inside, like inside his cape sort of thing, even though there's no pockets anywhere. And we'd also been with him for like the last 20 minutes. There's no way he'd picked up this stuff for it. It just wasn't possible. But he just stopped in front of me. He puts his hand in, like into this, you know, as if there was a pocket there, and hands me this plastic coin, which isn't even from our house. It's from a house where my wife works, like at the house where she cleans. It's from a different house. It's from a different property. It's not even from me. He pulled out this thing and just handed it to me, and I just said to him, "What? Where did you pull that from?" And as soon as I said that, he put puts his hand back in there, straight into the same spot, and he pulls out a train like this. It's probably like 15 centimeter long plastic train. Like, and my wife and I were just like, oh my God. Like, and I'm like, dude, where are you pulling this from? And like, my wife said, like, I'm not ready for this. And, you know, she left the room and I was just, yeah, he's a special little guy. that cracked me up. It was just, it was Mary Poppins stuff. He was just pulling this stuff out of absolutely nowhere. Like, yeah, that blew both our minds. So that was, yeah, that was just, you know, a couple of weeks ago. But then there was, I'll just try, I've got it written here. So yesterday, I'm in the backyard. I'm digging out a new veggie bed. We were going to plant tomatoes and stuff. I'm digging out a new veggie bed. Got my son out there with me. We're waiting for my wife to get home. She's been at work for the afternoon. She's due home at any point. So we're out there and we've got our backs faced to where she would walk from. We're out in the backyard and we've got our backs faced to where she would walk from if she was to come home. Even though if she was to come home, I would have seen her first anyway over the fence. I would have seen her car rock up and heard her walking down the driveway. But anyway, that didn't happen. We were just digging into the ground, got the shovel, and I saw someone move around through the trees behind me, through the fruit trees. And I didn't turn around. I just assumed that it was my wife because she was due home. And even though I would have seen a car rolling, for whatever reason, that didn't come to mind. I didn't turn around and I just assumed that it was my wife. And then I thought, oh, cool. She's probably just come around and just seen that I'm out there, the little fella, and that we're okay. So she's probably just like gone up to the house for a quick sec, you know, get changed, and then she'll come out with like totally normal. So that, cool. That's, you know, sort of why I didn't turn around. So I just assumed it was her. And then a couple of seconds later, I did turn around and I thought, cool, let's go up and find mum. So I've taken the little fella up to the house and I've looked down the driveway and the car's not there and there's no one. And like, there was someone there. And when I, well, not necessarily someone, but I feel that there was something there. And it was when I actually think about it, it wasn't actually a person that I saw at all. It was just, there was a white, you know, I guess a spirit or something, but it was just white. Like, this is obviously out of the corner of my eye. I didn't turn around. So I saw this out of the corner of my eye, but this thing moved through the trees just as if it was my wife coming home, moved through the trees and then stood there and then sort of moved back. And it was just, it was all white. And that's all I've got from that. Oh, also, I just wanted to mention with the thing that happened when I was putting my fella to sleep, couple of strong feeling as if that is, yeah, one of my wife's friends who died tragically about 10 years ago and who she feels very, very much and really, you know, misses her. And I've had a very strong feeling that was her and that she's with us quite a lot, actually. So we had the backyard lady thing from yesterday. Last thing is, this was just ridiculous, and this just happened a couple of hours ago because I've been thinking about this stuff so much recently, and now I feel that because I'm thinking about this stuff so much, it's like things are happening, you know, it's like I'm creating these events. So just a couple of hours ago, I get home from work and I'm thinking about speaking to you, doing this, it's been really great. And so I walk into the kitchen and a banana is just like, was moving. Like it just rolled. Like it was as if there was someone standing there and they just put the banana down and then it just had to like settle itself, which, you know, it was a completely still room and that's not a rocky like fruit bowl or anything like that. They were sitting there and I just walked in. It was like it just moved for a quick half second and I spotted it and I clocked it and I was like, okay, here we go. Like, all right, we're on. Just because I'm thinking about this stuff tonight, I'm thinking about having this conversation, and yeah, it's just like I'm creating events, it seems. I guess that's pretty much it, to be honest, like as far as experiences. Like, I think I've pretty much crossed them all off. There's a lot more, you know, than I initially thought when I first started a few months ago writing down all the things that had happened, because I just had a few in mind, like the main big ones that sort of would pop out. And then I thought, oh, no, I've actually got all these other things as well. So I thought, once I actually wrote them down, I was like, holy crap, I've actually got like a decent handful of experiences here. Like, I need to actually write these down in order and get on top of it and just keep these events, you know, and actually have the experiences on paper. And you know, it turns out there's a lot more than what I initially thought, which is interesting. And what's happening in the last few days, yeah, bring it on. It's just like more and more, it seems.
Well, good stuff, Bevan. We're glad that you did write them down. So much going on, man.
Yeah, there is a lot going on, and it's all quite random and different things. There is a bit going on.
Interesting. We're gonna connect these wolves in the sky to your 1989 vision in the sky. Maybe I'm not sure. You said you saw the form of Jesus.
Yes. Yeah. So that was in. Well, I'm gonna say it was about 1989. I actually don't know, but I would say that I was about 7 years old when I saw that. So I think about that one a lot. Recently, because like I was raised a Christian. I come up in a pretty old school Catholic family. I'm certainly not a part of that anymore, that's for sure. I despise the Catholic Church anyway. That's a whole other story. But that image I have struggled with throughout my life, because I don't necessarily believe in Jesus. But you know, since gotten into these topics and I've become to learn a lot more, I understand that might just be a sign, sent from someone else, or, things, imagery can, be perceived as different things. So that can also be, I say I was about seven, but maybe that was 2 years later, like when my grandma had died. I mean, I saw my grandma. Maybe it was also around that time, or maybe it was also in 1989 when my friend Dominic died. That happened in that year, like there was the exact timeline is unclear there, so I can't nail what that was.
And we're not talking about seeing the form of Jesus actually in the form of a cloud. This is a completely clear,
the Jesus thing. And no, absolutely not. Neither of these things that I saw was, especially the wolf thing, like neither of these things was like, oh, like that cloud looks like a rabbit or whatever. Far from it. Like this, vivid image, and the Jesus image was color, and this was at nighttime, so it was, it was a crystal clear night. And up there, it's like there's no light pollution at all. Like stars are shining. It's really open, and this was a full blown, color image, which is actually the classic image. Like if you look up old school Christian images of Jesus, it's like a classic image. It's probably from the, 30s and 40s, 50s. Like there's so many images that represent the same thing, where he's holding his cloak open and his heart there. That's what it was. That's what I saw, yeah.
And it was the full form of Jesus?
Not the full form. Pretty much like the same that you would see in the pictures, like a classic framed picture that you would see in a very Catholic house, which is exactly where I was, from the waist up sort of thing, just like a torso sort of image, I think. Yeah, it wasn't the full body.
Okay, and could you make out details?
Yeah, absolutely. Like it was very, very clear what I was seeing. And yeah, absolutely, I could make out details. And the sky was still black around it, stars, and it's like this thing, it's like I was, I guess I could see through it, I guess. It wasn't like a solid image or anything, that's for sure. It was a part of the sky, it was almost translucent, but it was a part of the sky, and it pretty much filled the sky. It was huge. It was just massive. Like I was looking up, and it filled the sky, I was just a little kid. I didn't know what the hell was going on. I just sort of kept that to myself.
I wonder if anyone else had seen this.
Well, honestly, not at that particular party, because like I was a little kid and everyone else is still up. I was just about to go to bed. I've got older cousins and uncles and aunties and everything. Like this is a big family party. There was a lot of older adults up and like partying in the backyard. They would have been, if anyone was going to see it, they would have all seen it, because there was a lot of people there. But I was sort of in my own little world, just like looking up at the sky, and I don't know, I saw it. Maybe it was just for me. Maybe it wasn't there for everyone else, and maybe it was just for me. I don't know.
Because, of course, over the years, there's been people which have witnessed apparitions in the sky, whether it's been of Jesus or of Mary.
Mm-hmm. It's tricky because I struggle with the Christianity aspect of it, and even though that's just how I've been brought up, the imagery that I saw is a classic image. It's not like I could Google the image. I actually have made an image of it. I'm sorry, I got to tell you, I actually have made an image of it, and I'll send it to you, because I think I've made one of the wolves, and I made the Dementor image. No, I've made one of the Jesus image. I'll fire it off to you.
Yeah, do that, and I'll put that on the website. Yeah, I've got the wolves as well, and again, the wolves are an interesting one. Does wolves have anything to do with you at all?
Nope. It really puzzles me. And my wife, no, it doesn't. Since then, like we spot Like, if we see an image of wolves, we'll, like, send it to each other and say, oh, they're our mates, you know, like, but no, like, we, no. I just can't think of anything that relates to it, that image, what it means to us, or how it's even possible to see something like that in the sky. This is, you know, I kind of wish it was something different, like a UFO, because it would be so much easier to explain, to be honest, because this one's really, really difficult to explain. I find it really hard to explain this one, and I certainly don't tell people about this, that's for sure, because they think you're nuts.
Well, it's important to share it because you could be one of many which have seen something like this, and everyone else are out there saying the same thing. You know, I haven't told no one because it's so strange, and I don't think anyone would believe me.
Absolutely, yeah.
I've got your image right here, and it's just different profiles of wolves.
Exactly, yeah. So in that image, it's very close to what I saw, but it was more vivid. Like it was a photo quality image what we were looking at in the sky. Like it was clearer than that, and yeah, the edges of it sort of just blended into the sky. Really, it didn't necessarily have a shape to the image. That I guess the edge of the image was the shapes of the wolves. You know, like all the shapes of their heads and everything like that, against a blue sky. So they were, you know, they were like a black and white image, but just yeah. Crystal clear photo quality image of like, I don't know, it's hard to say how many, but like approximately 10. Yeah, all these heads. It was just incredible. Like, and completely blew my wife's mind. Absolutely.
But of course, yeah, it's a good thing that it's a shared, both managed to see this.
No, I'm really, really stoked about that.
I mean, the question is, you know, do we have that kind of technology where we can project images like that? I mean,
nope, we don't.
Back in the 90s, you know, I would definitely have said no. These days, if someone does have this yeah. type of tech, you know, it wouldn't be just your next door neighbor, or it wouldn't be someone down the road. It would be
absolutely not
sophisticated gear.
Absolutely not, especially where we live. Like it's a very small town, you know, down the Great Ocean Road here. Like that sort of gear doesn't even exist from what I know. You can't project an image into a like a hot sky, like a hot summer's day blue sky. You can't project an image into that. That I know of. I mean, this is a remote, you know, small town, like far away from the city anyway. Like, it's just not even feasible, to be honest. It was something else that we saw, and I wish I could explain it more, but it's been a difficult one to explain that.
Yeah, of course, there's that conspiracy theory with Project Bluebeam projecting images in the sky to make people believe something, whether it's religious icons or an alien invasion, you know. But
right.
This is strange because, you know, wolves, this would be, surely would have been the talk of the town. I mean, it was a large image.
Huge. Yeah, huge. It filled a big section of the sky. I was done my head in over the years.
So to our listeners, if you've experienced something like this, no matter how strange the image is, do get in contact, because Bevan would certainly not like to be the only one, him and his wife.
Absolutely. I'm stoked you said that, because I've been listening to so many different accounts on your show, and some of the things that people have seen, I really wish I could remember this guy's name, but there was some people talking the other day, the bloke, he was talking on one of your old shows, and he was talking about things that he'd seen, and it just made me feel so much better about what I've seen, because it makes no sense. It just doesn't make any sense, but he saw it, and what he saw, his wife also saw, which was fantastic, because it was like, oh wow, this another husband and wife, this shared experience, and what they saw, it was off the chain. Like he was describing, sorry, his wife was describing like a bunch of like Christmas presents coming towards the bed or something like that. And he saw they were seeing the same thing, but to him it was represented as something different, keyboards or something. But it just doesn't make any sense. But they knew what they were seeing. It was very, very real. It made me feel so much better about some of the stuff, especially, well, obviously the wolves thing, because the other two things that I saw in the sky, like the Dementor and the Christ thing, at least, you know, it's crazy, but at least I know what they are and I can relate. I can't relate to them, but, you know, I can explain them easier than the wolf thing.
I've repeated this on probably two or three occasions on the episode now where I've said to people, don't leave anything out. If even though it sounds completely strange and on off the charts, say, because yeah. There is a good chance that someone else has experienced the same thing. Like, don't leave it out. Don't just give us the experiences where, you know, we're accustomed to listening, whether it's just UFOs and the occasional ghost, you know, if it's completely...
Yep.
Crazy to you, tell us, because I guarantee it, you're making someone else, you know, like yourself, feel better for what they've seen.
Couldn't agree more.
So would you say you're susceptible to certain energies and experiences? Would you say you are psychic in any way?
Yes. So yes. But I do feel that, but I don't want to tap into it, to be honest. So I definitely feel my, it's a tricky one because, oh man, this, I absolutely feel things. I don't necessarily, I kind of just don't want to tap into it, to be honest. I feel enough. I'm an over empath and that's big enough a toll as it is. I think I feel enough as it is. And some of these experiences, you know, incredible, but, yeah, I do feel stuff. And I definitely feel that if I was to try and tap into that a lot more, I think it's right there in front of me. It's like right there. I kind of hold back, to be honest, on that. I don't really know what else to say on that one.
You know what they say, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was told very, very strongly, you know, that I shouldn't. Well, that was specifically to not mess with the seance, I believe, and a Ouija board.
And a lot of time, you know, when you do open yourself up to these kind of things, and especially if you've got a lot going on in life, family life and work life, some of this stuff can get very overwhelming. You know, I've spoke to many psychics over the years, and they, especially the ones which are not doing it for a profession, they just have everyday lives. Difficult, you know, you're in a room with your child and you're trying to put them to bed, and then you've got spirits coming in and want to tell you stuff, that kind of thing. It get a bit much for some people.
Yeah, for sure.
And of course, you know, I never say to people, don't hold seances, don't mess with Ouija boards. You know, people are free to do as they please, but people should always be aware of kind of what they're dealing with, really what they can kind of bring into their lives.
Absolutely. I can't believe people used to think of it as a toy. That's just wild, because it's so far from that, and people have no idea of the power of that, or people don't even believe that it's real until all of a sudden they're having some really terrifying things happen to them, and scares the crap out of a lot of people and really messes a lot of people up. And, you know, my experience with it was just, you know, wild, completely wild. And then I was given a very, very strong message to not do it. And, I'm definitely listening, that's for sure, because it scared the absolute crap out of me. I thought I was insane for 2 hours, and she was screaming at me at the end and said, don't do it. And then I knew who it was, and I was certainly going to listen.
This happened for 2 hours straight. Don't ask questions. Don't ask questions.
Two hours. I can't believe it went on for that long, but I don't really know. I don't think I knew. It hadn't occurred to me yet who it was, I guess, and or what it was. I was just in a state of shock. I was in a state of full-on shock that I was, I thought I was insane. So I was just in shock. And then, you know, after about 2 hours, it was like 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, and then it was just like a light bulb moment where I knew who it was, and I knew what she was telling me, and it ended instantly, and that was it. That's just the scariest thing that ever happened to my life. And, you know, I've certainly warned many, many people of not messing with Ouija boards because of that. It's just, that was terrifying for me. Do what you got to do, and, you know, find things out and explore whatever you have to do, your thing, but you got to know some risks.
Yeah. If anyone out there and you are getting involved, Ouija boards and that, yeah, just be aware, read up on it first. Unfortunately, a lot of the ghost TV shows that have been around for the last few years, you know, they do it all the time, you know, and it's kind of commonplace to do it. Whereas before, you know, messing with a Ouija board was kind of just only done at sleepovers and hanging around a haunted house with your friends. But it's not something really to be taken lightly.
No. Well, for me, it was just, you know, it was just one of those things. It wasn't a party thing. It was just I'm young, opening the mind to everything that's out there. And that was just one of those things. It happened to be one of those things. That's literally all it was. I certainly didn't have an interest in it before, and I was very, very skeptical up until only a couple of minutes into doing the first one, and I realized, you know, holy crap, everything's now not how I thought it was, which is, you know, one of the hugest things to take away from that. Because you go home, I went home that night after speaking to my friend, like, who had died, and I was just like, what the hell? Like, everything that I've thought, you know, is possible, or the things that you get told, you know, what happens to you die, whatever, just like everything was just completely out the window, and I was charging full into finding out new stuff.
The things we do when we're younger.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't regret it. I don't regret it, even though that was terrifying. And it's a great experience to talk about. I don't talk to anyone about this because, yeah, like I said, yeah, you know why. But yeah, like, all good.
All good, all good. I mean, and of course, everyone throws around the term demon this, demon that, you know, these days, which I think is a little bit overkill on a lot of these TV shows. But, you know, it keeps the viewers coming back week after week.
Yeah, I don't like that word at all. I think it's a terrible word. It's just, you know, some old Christian word that's been overused, you know, a billion times, and time for something new, I think. Because I don't relate to that word at all. I guess that's probably what it is to me. I don't feel anything that's demon related. You know, I don't feel that at all. That word. If it was something like that, I would probably find a different word, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. You know, we've got enough problems in this world without bringing them in as well. You know, and you're still having things happen up until today, pretty much.
Yes.
And your boy, you've either got like a future magician there or a little Yuri Geller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a special little guy. He's a special little dude. And I definitely feel like he's taken on, you know, a lot of stuff that I feel, and I think he has that 100%. I don't doubt that in the least. And I don't know what happened the other night with him just pulling stuff out. It just seemed too unusual, to be honest. Like, especially the second thing, which was quite large, out of nowhere. There was no pockets, and there's no way this stuff could have been like stuck to his clothing or anything. That's just impossible. It was, like my wife and I looked at it, like we felt that it was something else, you know, like we really felt that it was something else. And I guess that's it, you know. We looked at each other and she was just like, what? I'm so not ready for this. And yeah, she was out of there in a good way. Like, she wasn't freaked out that bad, but she loves it. She's so on board. But that was pretty full on to see stuff like that, you know. And physical stuff is something else, and that's to see something physical, I guess. And again tonight, like, that was a physical thing. I walked into the room and the bananas moved as if someone's just dropped it. And to see something physical like that in broad daylight, it's something else. And I don't really have those. That's very, very new, actually. That's only the last few weeks that these couple of things have started to happen.
Well, keep us updated if anything else does happen.
Yeah, will do.
Bevan, interesting stuff. And hopefully, you know, I'll get emails back about some of this.
Yeah, great. No, I'd be super interested to hear if anyone's got anything to say, or similar stories, really. Especially the wolves thing. I need to know what's going on there big time. The Dementor thing, I've heard many other people describe exactly that thing. So that just makes a lot of sense to me. But the wolves thing, yeah, love to hear if anyone has ever experienced anything like that. Anyway, yeah, no, it's been great to have a chat, Nick. I love your podcast. It's really cool to have the opportunity to tell these stories. Sorry, experiences. I've got to change that word in my head because, yeah, like many of your listeners know, you don't talk to people about these things and you keep them inside, and, you know, good to get them out there because this stuff has happened and everyone knows that this stuff has happened, whatever it is that they've done, have experience, and it's like, yep, it's happened. So you don't have to tell everyone about it because there are some people will think you're nuts. So that's okay. Just tell the right people, like on here.
Yeah, you got it. It's my pleasure to hear these accounts.
Yeah, that's great.
I really appreciate you coming on, Bevan, to share that for our listeners.
Really, really great to chat, Nick.
It's been great speaking to you, Bevan. Okay, keep in contact.
You too, Nick. Thanks a bunch. Thank you.
Bye for now.
Okay, cheers.
That's all for this episode. Keep updated and connected with the show on X, Facebook and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Cameron and Bevan for sharing tonight, and as always, thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.